get your Bibles and let's go to the book of John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll try to be as 9:55, so I have until 12 o'clock. Okay. What a thing to say to me. You said that with authority, too. That hurt my feelings. Paul said, in conjunction with this passage of Scripture I want us to see this morning, in Philippians chapter... In fact, I want to just go there. You don't have to go there, but Philippians. He said in Philippians chapter 4, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate. And that's not just conversation. You see, brother. It's not Dickerson, is it? It's Dickinson, I know. I'm just having fun. But anyway, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate. That means... They gave. Jesus' two most popular sermon themes was hell and money. Study it out. It was hell and money. For he knew where your heart was, that where your treasure was, that's where your heart was. He knew that. He encouraged his followers to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, this is just a small portion of what I want to get across this morning. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning. Here's the explanation of the word communicate. As concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now here's what I want us to notice. My wife always cringes when I take two texts. She says, if I can preach for an hour with one, how long am I going to preach with two? Not because I desire a gift. Do you honestly think Jesus needed money? Whenever he needed to pay his taxes, he told Peter, go fishing. Right? He made the gold. But anyway, you honestly think God needs our money? But we need the blessing of giving. Not because I desire a gift, and here's what I want us to notice, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. My children, when they were little, back when they were little, believe it or not, we were city feet. We were, you know, we lived in the suburbs. We lived in the city. I'm not a farm boy. But my little boys didn't understand. One of the things that we did for entertainment was I don't want to use the word shopping because that's not what we did. Because we didn't buy anything. We didn't have any money to buy anything. Of course, my little boys, they would head for the toy department. They'd come back around the corner with something in their hands saying, buy this for me, Daddy. And I was always disappointed. I said, well, I don't have any money. And one of them, seen us do it enough, said, well, then write a check. You know that. You know why you laughed? Your children did the same thing. Well, write a check. But they didn't understand the concept that check is no good unless there's money in the account. Now, back in those days, you could write a check, and you had a couple days before it went to the bank. And we did the old hurry to the bank shuffle. You say, you did that? You did too. But anyway, but Daddy, write a check. But son, there's nothing on the account. I've got nothing in the bank to write the check on. Now, please keep that in mind through the rest of this message, this Sunday school lesson. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. what's in your account. Not that I desire gift, but I desire fruit, F-U-R-I-T, fruit that may abound to your... What are you lurking about? Did I misspell it? Oh, well, anyway. F-U-R-I-T. Shut up. And I said it again. We were over at the Braden's last night, and I tease, especially with the little kids. I tease. See, they can take it a whole lot better than you can. And I just, believe it or not, I feel like I can let my hair down with a bunch of kids. You, I have to act sophisticated and be somebody that I'm actually not. You're looking at a 70-year-old man with a 10-year-old boy trapped in his body. And the 10-year-old boy always shows up at the wrong time. And there's these kids, light-hearted, innocent, full of life and fun. And I saw that, and I'm drawn to it, and I started teasing them. And one of the boys come around, and he's going to ask his dad something. We're sitting at the supper table. One of the boys come around, and he wasn't there a half a second, and I looked up and said, "Shut up." And then you could feel a gasp. Shut up. And just like the gasp that you're giving me right now. We don't say shut up. As soon as I knew that I just said the wrong thing, I said, "You're stupid." We don't say stupid, right? Am I having fun with you this morning? You're not having fun, but I'm having fun. The 10-year-old boy, George, don't live here anymore. But anyway, what that had to do with anything, I don't know. But I wanted to be able to do something for my boys. There were times that I couldn't because I didn't have anything on my account. Nothing in the account. Nothing in the account. Now with my grandkids, praise God, it's a little different. I always take prizes when I go see the grandkids. I know what my grandkids' favorite candy bars are. And I always, because I'm going to get them sugared up, get them all wild, and then go home. Amen? And they got to where, and you say, you can say what you want. They're my grandkids, and I'm me, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and so are you. I could pour my heart out and have a broken heart trying to help people, and they're still going to do what you want to do. Amen? So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach what God lays on my heart, even hair lips everybody, because I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But I took my grandkids. Josiah's the best. Oh, my goodness, that boy's full of life. You take his energy and put it in this old bottle, it would bust. Oh, and he's got a smile. Melt your heart. I don't bring my grandkids to meetings like this because I know as soon as I bring my own grandkids, you would be disappointed with yours. So I don't bring them out in public much because I don't want you to be disappointed with your own flesh and blood. But anyway, just write a check, Daddy. There's nothing on my account. Jesus Christ, he had just finished John chapter 13, John chapter 14. They're in the upper room. John chapter 14 to John chapter 17, they're walking. John 14 ends, and he says, "Let us go." So they leave the upper room, take a 2-mile trek from the upper room to the garden where he's going to spend the rest of the evening praying. And he spends the last however long it takes them to walk, 2 miles. The most, 2 miles. Possibly 2.5 miles. From the upper room, they're walking. And I know I've preached this before. This is the thought. This was so important to Christ. This is so important to Christ. He's squeezing in his last night. He knows it's his last night. And he wants those 11 men because one of them was gone to betray him for some money. Amen? Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So that you preachers, that's all you are is interested in money. No, I want some fruit to your account. And I'm not just talking about money, laying up treasures in heaven, being fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is this. Go through the fruits we're supposed to bear. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is life. We're supposed to be fruitful. We're supposed to bear fruit. And Jesus, knowing how valuable and important and necessary it is for God's people to be fruitful, as they leave the upper room, he says, I'm the vine, and ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. And for the next 15 or 16 verses, as they're walking, squeezing into that last night, something that Christ thought was so valuable, that he was going to spend his last steps, his last breaths, on that side of Calvary, squeezing into the hearts of those men, be fruitful. Have some fruit to your account. Add some stuff to your account. Remember what the little boy said, Daddy? Well, just write a check. Just write a check. But I'm afraid that most of us Christians don't have anything to write our checks on. We haven't sent any fruit on before us. Jesus Christ trying to squeeze in that last night, those last steps, those last breaths, that last evening, on this side of brutality, on this side of death. And he said, listen, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, does that not sound familiar to do? If you in me, you know, you're not saved if you're not in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us, oh my goodness, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures. 30-some-odd times in the book of 1 John, he uses the little phrase, in him. If a man say he's without sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. If a man see his brother naked and destitute, and he shuts up the bowels of compassion, John said, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Thank God I'm in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all has become new. Thank God I'm in Christ Jesus. Thank God if you're saved this morning, you are in Christ Jesus. And I want us to notice a few things that being fruitful, as Christ is commanding us here in John chapter 15, that we can send some fruit to our account. Fill up our bank account. Put something. Please. I'm trying not to be evangelistic. I'm really trying not to be a loudmouth evangelist. I am truly trying to encourage you and me to have fruit in our lives. And that fruit is not just in our lives, but we have fruit that abounds to our account. We're sending something on. Because someday, Christian friend, you're going to want to get a hold of God. I'm not getting ahead of myself. You're going to want to get a hold of God. And you've got nothing on your account to write the check with. Lord, do I not have enough on my account to cover this check? Am I making sense? Do I not have enough on my account to have this prayer and this need met? Did you know he said it in conjunction with the fact that he said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He turns right around and tells those Philippian Christians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is that not a promise that you and I claim? When the bills come due and we don't have enough to cover them? God, you said you'd supply my need. We're without work. Did God promise us he'd supply our need? A job's a need. Rent's a need. Utility payments are needs. Groceries are needs. And he Paul tells us, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. My God shall supply all your need. Whose need? The Philippian Christians who gave once and again unto his necessity. Are we having fun yet? You that have given unto my necessities once and again, God will supply your need. And did not Jesus Christ, and I say this to the young people, every time we take up an offering at camp, I tell those kids, if you'll learn this principle, you will be light years ahead of your adult counterparts back home. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to make it through your Christian life for the first 30, 35, 40 years of your life and come to the realization that it's more blessed to give than receive? You just wasted 30 years of opportunities to sow that you might have a harvest, that you might be able to reap. It's more blessed to give. Did not Jesus Christ say, give and it shall be given unto you? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men. And we use that verse of Scripture in the book of Galatians. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's in conjunction with giving. That's in conjunction with fruitfulness. Taking the fruit that God has blessed us with and blessing it with others. Using it for others. God wants us to be fruitful. First of all, I want you to notice that fruitfulness is not only commanded, but it will enliven our testimony. It will enliven our testimony. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. It will enliven our testimony. Fruitfulness will make our desire to be fruitful. Let me just say this again. You all know the story. The Bible says Christ was hungry. And they were coming into Jerusalem and saw a fig tree. And the Bible says Christ was hungry and saw that the fig tree had nothing but leaves. And that's all most of us Christians are, is leaves. But Christ was hungry for the fruit that was supposed to be on that tree. And when he saw that there was no fruit, you know the story. When he saw the fruit, the tree, fruitless, he cursed it. Every branch that is not in me, that beareth not fruit, let's read it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. They go off into the town. They come back and find that tree had died and withered up from the root up, and they marveled that it was so soon dead. You know what's wrong with most of our Christianity? It's dead. We are not alive by fruitfulness. You want to know why our hearts have gotten calloused and hard toward old lost sinners? It's because we have lost our desire to bear fruit. We're not as fruitful as we're supposed to be. We're not bearing the fruit. Every branch, he said, that beareth fruit, God's going to purge it. Why? Because he's in the business of bringing forth more fruit. One of the things that fruitfulness will do to our Christianity, that it will enliven us. Monday night when Metropolitan Baptist, and please forgive me, this sounds like anything that I don't intend for it to sound. And most of that 30-some-odd people they brought two van loads, did they not? They kept coming through that door. Not just me, insignificant, unimportant me. Tired most of the time, me. But all of a sudden, one teenager after another come filing through that door. And something began to stir inside of me. something inside of me begin to flame, fan the flames. And people want to come to Camp Victory and live. Seriously. They want to come, set up their trailer, do something, and live at Camp Victory because there's life there. But I tell them, wait until the last busload leaves. That's one dead place. Wait until the last kid leaves and goes up the hill. And you're down there, and it's snowed 5 to 6 inches, and you can't get out. And the tree fell across the power line, and you're without power. But I'm here to tell you, back in February when it started getting warm and the Easter lilies started showing up, and the grass is getting longer, and the prospects of kids coming down that hill to go through those gates to fill up those buildings, it's stirring my soul. It's stirring my soul. And listen, one of the reasons why I love preaching to kids is the prospects of bearing fruit. I hate to say this because it's going to sound hateful. The prospects of seeing young people walk the aisle and get saved and have broken hearts and tearful eyes is a whole lot greater than the most revival meetings I preach at, because we have lost our life, therefore because we have lost our fruitfulness. We've lost our fruitfulness. It will enliven you. And God said, if you're going to bring forth fruit, I'm going to purge you that you'll bring forth more fruit. It will enliven your testimony. It will extend your life. I like this when he goes along with what he said. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. I'm nobody. Let me just say, let me use this illustration. John R. Rice was born in 1895. The man lived to be almost 90 years old. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. He's a husband, and he comes to take an account of his vineyard. And he comes to this one tree that is not bearing any fruit. And he tells the groundskeeper, he said, cut it down. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? But the groundskeeper, which is the Holy Ghost, I like this. He said, just give me another year. And I'll dig around it, and I'll dung it, and I'll water it, and I'll prune it. And he said, after a year, if it hasn't brought any fruit, then we'll cut it down. You know what being fruitful will do? Listen to me. You know what fruitful will do? It will extend your life. Because unfruitfulness shortens your life. Somebody say amen right there. Tom Malone lived to be 90 some odd years old. And he ate pork. Can you imagine that? My mom and dad, they weren't big buds. But they were the ones that brought my mom and dad. Dr. Malone and Miss Malone were the ones that brought my mom and dad back to the Lord. My dad's going to heaven. And my dad's in heaven. My mother's in heaven. Their family are on their way to heaven. Because somebody came to our house when dad was a drinker and brought them back to Jesus. And my dad, mom, before Mrs. Malone died, a few years after the doc died, they sat there in her living room, and she told stories. She said, the doc stayed back. He was kind of losing. He was getting a little mentally frail. But she said, one day I walked past the room, and I can hear him in there saying, Joyce will come now and lead us in a verse of there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That man was reliving his fruitfulness in his mind. It will enliven your testimony. It will extend your life. It will evidence your salvation. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that, and every branch, he that purges, boy, I'm having fun this morning. I can't spell fruit and I can't read. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You want to know why? One of the reasons why I know I'm saved. He chastens those that are his. And why do you think he chastens us? That we might be more fruitful. That we might be more fruitful. We're not very alive because we're not very fruitful. We're not very confident in our testimony because we're not very fruitful. I want you to notice in verse 8. Skip down to verse 8 with me. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Now remember, they're not sitting there like you are. They're walking. He's taking his last steps on that side of pain and suffering to tell his followers the foundation of Christianity. You want to bring God glory? Bear much fruit. You want to bring God glory? Bear much fruit. It will evidence your salvation. It will exalt your Father. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. It will enhance. I like this one. Same verse of Scripture, part B. So shall ye be my disciples. You want to bring God glory? Bear fruit. You want to bring Him much glory? Bear much fruit. And us that are bearing fruit, bring Him glory. And we fall into a different category. We are His disciples. We are. He goes out of His way. Christ goes out of His way to teach us that sometimes the tree has to be pruned. It has to be watered. It has to be dunged. It has to be nurtured and taken care of and developed so that it can bring forth much fruit. Much glory to the Father. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, and ye shall be my disciples. Did you know there's a difference between being saved and being a disciple? And just because you're saved doesn't make you a disciple. There are people who are saved, fruitless Christians, that doesn't bring God much glory. And remember, Jesus Christ was hungered. He wanted something to eat. He desires the fruit from our lives. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, and ye shall be my disciples. There is a difference between being saved. I'll just say this because might as well, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. You know what I discovered after 50 years, part of what I discovered when, during the last 50 years of preaching? My oldest boy asked me a question one day. He asked me a question about certain kinds of Christians. And I know this is going to go over like a lead balloon, but I tried to explain it to him in a way that I think he'd understand. And I said, well, heaven's going to need street sweepers. Amen. You said, that's awfully arrogant. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. He gave men talents in Matthew chapter 25, did he not? One guy came back and said, I've increased your talent tenfold. And Christ told that man, you're a good and faithful servant. Be in charge of 10 cities. You're not going to be a street sweeper. Another fellow took his talent and increased it fivefold. And Christ said to the man who increased his talent fivefold, the same thing he told us, told the fellow who increased his talent tenfold, well done, thou good and faithful servant, be in charge of 5 cities. But the third fellow come along and said, I knew you were an austere man. In other words, he said, I knew you desired fruit. I knew you were glorified in my fruitfulness. But I was afraid, and I took your talent and put it in a napkin and buried it in the ground. Here's your talent. Here's your talent. There are a lot of people, pardon me, maybe I can't help but be an evangelist. Try to be a Sunday school teacher this morning, maybe I can't help it. There's a lot of people sitting in our churches that are nothing more than pew warmers. They're nothing more than pew warmers. Saved. And the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. And he that will lose his life shall find it. He that will lose his life for his sake. No man leaves mother, father, houses, and land for my name's sake and the gospel that I don't return it unto him 100-fold in this life. And eternal life than life to come. You know what that means to me? I get to have my cake and eat it too. The corn of wheat fell into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. It will exalt your Father. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. It will enhance your standing. We're going to get to it in just a minute. Remember that blank check in that checking account? Remember that? It will enhance your standing. It will enrich your love life. Right there in the middle of that, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We don't have much of a burden for our friends and for lost people. Because we've lost our fruitfulness. We're not fruitful like we should. And you know what winning souls will do? It'll make you want to see more souls saved. I preached at least once a year in Lancaster Prison and at least once a year in the prison in London, Ohio. Once in the fall and once in the spring. I loved it. I loved it. I didn't get a love offering. I traveled at my own expense. Stayed in Brother Knisley's house for 3 days. They offered me money one time and I turned it down. I said, this is my camp meeting. I love this. I was preaching one night and I was doing my dead level best. Telling those lost men, telling 180 were in that auditorium. And we only had until 8:15. If you want me to be short in my preaching, you become the warden of a prison. They told us that we had to be wrapping it up by 8:15. So I had to start the invitation by 8:05. And I generally only had about 25 to 30 minutes to preach. So I hit the ground running. Because there was some harvesting to be done. And my soul loved it. My soul loved it. And I was preaching along and I said, don't you come forward. Look at me. Don't you come forward if you think I'm going to write a letter for you to send to your parole officer. Don't you come forward thinking you'll put on a show. But if you need to be saved tonight and you genuinely want your sins forgiven and Christ to be in your heart and save you, I'm going to do it differently tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I told them and I said, do you that really want to be saved? Not a chance to get out, but a chance to get saved. Stand to your feet. And 35 men stood up. I love it. I love it. It'll enliven you. It will. And before the 3 days was over, we ended up with 50. You say, well, yeah. Okay. Why aren't you trying to do something like that? Why is your first thought a criticism instead of saying, boy, I'd like to be part of that. Boy, I'd like to see that. I'd like to have my hands on something like that. Why? Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Greater love. And poor old sinners need to be saved. And last of all, look at verse 16. It will enable your prayer life. Hey, I'm right on time, preacher. What a good preacher I am. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now look at the caveat. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Did you read that? Does your King James Bible say the same as mine? Your fruitfulness opens up the door to heaven. Remember that little boy that says, Daddy? Just write a check. That little boy grew up to be a teenager. And he slipped off into sin. Broke his mom and daddy's heart. Yeah, I probably can take a lot of blame for that. And one night while I was praying, no exaggeration, I've already preached 2 revival meetings this year in churches with men who are pastors who gave their lives to Christ Jesus at Camp Victory. There are men on the mission field in their 30s and 40s and early 50s who surrendered to the mission field and gave their lives to Christ and surrendered to preach. We've seen almost 4,000 young men and women saved. But my son slipped out of the fold. Nothing gross and hateful. The devil used it and he slipped him off. And it broke our heart. And one night while I was praying, trying to get my Father to draw him back in, you know what come to my mind? Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And it broke my heart. And I said, Lord, how many other father's sons have I knelt down next to and showed them how to be saved? How many other father's sons have I knelt down to as they were giving their life to Christ? Lord, do I not have enough on my account to have this check cashed? That's exactly how I prayed to him. Do I not have enough on my account to have my own son? Have I not sown some seed, seen some harvest, and had some fruit enough that I can ask you to cash this check? You say you talk to God like that, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, he will give it you. And guess what? I'm not exaggerating. Less than 30 days later, the boy called me on the phone at 4 o'clock in the morning, crying, saying, Daddy, can I come home? That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, it shall be given unto you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.